We're taking conservatives to work and liberal progressive Democrats to task for their dysfunctional politics so that we can make Washington livable again. It's Friday. Great to have you with. Jam-packed show coming up in 1 hour. Republican U.S. Congressman from Spokane, Eastern Washington, Michael Baumgartner, is going to join me, talk about the government shutdown. Patty Murray has tried to pick a skirmish with Michael Baumgartner and another Republican U.S. Representative, Dan Newhouse. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the stuff going on with firing federal workers, what's happening with that as well. Do that in an hour with Michael Baumgartner from Spokane. Bottom of the hour, our economist par excellence, senior chief economist here on The Morning Ride.
The champagne of economists.
The champagne of economists, Steve Moore. Steve Moore will stop by. And I want to find out a little bit about this $20/$40 billion for Argentina. We've got some stuff going on with China and some of the tariff stuff. And so we'll hit some of those things with Steve coming up at the bottom of the hour. But right now on The Morning Ride, I'm joined by Washington State Republican Party Chair.
I'm a smooth legislator.
Smooth legislator from Aberdeen, Grays Harbor County. Represents Aberdeen, Grays Harbor County in the Washington State Legislature. Jim Walsh joins me. Hello, Chair Representative Walsh.
Good morning, Phil. Well, Baumgartner versus Murray is not a fair fight. Murray's going to have to bring 5 or 6 friends with her to try to balance that one out.
Maybe some AI or something like that.
Right. I don't know. A lot of AI, yes. Hooked up to the AI.
Yeah. Now, I saw a couple of things that you had posted, and I thought it's got to be time to get Jim back on the show. And one of them is something I was just talking to Lars Larson, our midday host here on KVI, noon to three, in the last segment. And this happens to be something with the Washington Attorney General, Nick Brown, and he's trying to push a new law to protect workers from immigration raids. And it has to do with how employers fill out I-9 forms. So give us an explanation of what Attorney General Nick Brown in Olympia is trying to do here.
Break federal law is what Nick Brown is trying to do. So nominally, this is a pitch he's making to try to change state law or clarify state law, I guess he would say, in order to what he calls protect migrant workers. And I guess protect all workers, he says. I'm really trying to get inside his head here, Phil, and it's difficult. So he's spinning this proposal as a worker protection thing. That's not what it is. What he's doing is essentially trying to make state law force employers to interfere with federal immigration law enforcement. And this has to do with how the immigration status of workers is reported to the federal government. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but basically it's throwing employers, Washington businesses, under the bus. It's making them do things that would get them in worse trouble with the federal government. All with this idea of protecting what the state attorney general calls migrants. And that's a very misleading piece of rhetoric there, because migrants or immigrants is too broad a term. There is a difference between a legal migrant, a legal immigrant to the United States and to Washington, and an illegal alien. And what Nick Brown is trying to do here is blur that difference, is pretend that all immigrants are the same, and that there's no difference between an immigrant to the United States here on a visa, here legally. It could be a work visa, an H-1B, an H-2B, those special work permits that the government issues to tech workers or to agricultural workers. Those exist. Those programs exist. You can come into the United States and into Washington legally to work certain jobs. He's trying to make those programs, that legal status, no different than sneaking across the border illegally and being an illegal alien. This is lawlessness, Bill.
Yeah, blurs the lines.
It is not following the law.
So Nick Brown is going to call this proposed legislation the Immigrant Worker Protection Act, and this is kind of like the way politics ends up blurring the lines on something like a sanctuary state protection law, where they call it the Keep Washington Working Act, and whatever the name of the act is doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the ultimate impact of it. When I was kind of reading through what you had singled out about what Attorney General Nick Brown is up to on this, it made me think he might have been motivated to do this by what happened out at the Bear Gulch fire in Mason County, Lake Cushman, where you had two people that were arrested, part of that wildland firefighting crew. Do you think it stems from something like that, or am I kind of off base there?
I think that's probably right. Okay. There have been other episodes like that. What you had with that firefighting situation was there's a lot of misinformation around that too, Phil.
Sure, how it got distorted.
A company. These were not firefighters. They were not firemen. Yeah. They were not hired by a fire district and trained to be firefighters. They were part of a contracting company that works with the state that acts in a sort of a supporting role to actual firefighters.
Working on the fire line, basically.
And that's fine. Yeah. They contract out some of that support work. A couple of the people working for that private company contracting with the state were illegal aliens in the United States. And someone tipped off the ICE, tipped off the immigration federal agency, the Federal Immigration Agency. And they got word of this and went and to the site, to the Bear Gulch area, and detained a couple of the illegal aliens working for this private company contracting with the state. And this became a big cause for the far left, saying that ICE was interfering with firemen.
Yeah.
Well, that's not exactly what it was. And look, the ICE agents were doing their job. They got information about illegal aliens in a place they could find them, and they checked it out, and they confirmed that these people were here illegally, and they did their job. This got the governor and the state attorney general all in a dither, and they did press conferences. And it was one of the press conferences where the governor actually didn't make a mistake of fact, although he kind of did. He blurred around exactly what was going on. But anyway, they made a big deal about it. And yes, I think that Nick Brown, the state attorney general, is trying to build on that with this goofy,
trying to find a way to prevent any sort of immigration status checking at other job sites. And like I said, that's kind of what was jumping out at me, that somehow it connected back to that in late August when those two individuals were arrested out of the Bear Gulch fire. Another story that I wanted to bring you on to talk about, Chairman Walsh, Representative Walsh, is a ruling, and the Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, Harmeet Dhillon, posted about this. A federal judge in Washington has now entered a permanent injunction on a state law that was passed earlier this year, and the state law required Catholic clergy to be mandatory reporters of abuse. So if you had a confession situation in church between a parishioner and a Catholic clergy member, they might have to be required to report this, and that kind of has the privilege information. We hear doctor-patient privilege, lawyer-client privilege, have certain legal protections, things like that. But it would have forced those clergy members to report any sort of a crime that a parishioner might have confessed in confession in church to authorities. And now that's going to be blocked by this judge. What else is going to happen with this? Is this the end of this, or are there going to be more appeals?
Good question. So this is Senate Bill 5375. It was something that was passed into law in the last legislative session in Olympia earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Highly controversial. They tried to do it for several years. And the proposal always got hung up on this matter of what is called a ritual confession. So the rite in certain churches, the Catholic Church is one of them. It's not the only one. The Jehovah's Witness Church has a similar thing. Some of the LDS, Latter-day Saints, rituals are similar. There are a number of churches, but the Catholic Church is kind of the main topic on this one. So ritual confession, that is the sacrament in certain religions of penitent preacher confessions, where there is a particular act, a particular ceremony, a particular process for confessing one's sins.
And then ultimately receiving forgiveness based on the confession of those sins. That's the religious equation.
And each church has its own details about how it works, but we're not talking just a random conversation with a minister or preacher here. We're talking about a specific rite, mm-hmm. ritual within certain religions. Those are protected by the First Amendment under the U.S. Constitution, freedom of religion. And generally, the government cannot get involved in those. And as you say, it's analogous in practice to like lawyer-client privilege or doctor-patient privilege. It's considered privileged communication between two individuals. And there are various rules about how this is applied.
The Fifth Amendment kind of plays into this as well. You're not forced to testify against yourself, that sort of a thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The same theory applies to this. Now, this is a tradition in federal law and state law that these ritual confessions are protected as something like attorney-client privilege. Well, this state law that passed and Bob Ferguson signed it, he should have known better.
He's an attorney, right?
Yeah. Said no, that there's no such privilege in religious ceremonial confession. If a person confesses certain crimes, particularly sex crimes or sex crimes related to children, in that setting, the clergy member must report to law enforcement what the individual said. Now, when we had the debate on this bill at the Capitol in Olympia, I and others said, look, we want to end child sex abuse.
Exactly. We want to be able to weed that out, right? Yeah, you want to be able to convict somebody if it's applicable, yeah.
But this proposal is unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this passes the legislature and they try to make it a law, it's going to get rejected by the courts.
Well, and the irony to all of this is
you're going to enable abuse. No. We want good law that helps cops and detectives, but this is unconstitutional. Well, no, never mind. You know, you're a dumb guy or whatever. They made a very silly argument.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They rammed it through, and then, of course, the first court that looked at it rejected it.
And what's going to happen tomorrow around the United States of America, Chairman Walsh? There are going to be a bunch of No Kings rallies, right? Because they're going to say that Trump tramples on the Constitution. Meanwhile, here in the state of Washington, Governor Ferguson signs this into law. The majority Democrats pass it, and it has patent constitutionality problems based on what they passed earlier this year. Okay, we're getting tight on time, but the general election is just around the corner, November 4th. The mail-in ballots get sent out. I think it's Monday or Tuesday. Actually, no, it's tomorrow. I think they get sent out tomorrow. Isn't it the 18th?
Every county does their mailing them out a slightly different way, but some people are already getting them today.
Okay, so there we go.
Yeah, in the next few days, you're getting your ballot for the November election.
And the state Republican Party, and this is one of the other reasons I wanted to bring you on this morning's show, you, as the chair of the Washington State Republican Party, pointed out on social media that the state website for the Washington GOP, WashingtonGOP.org, is going to have a link that will provide some background information on candidates for school board. And school board races are very instructive right now with what we've got with going on with a Let's Go Washington couple of initiatives. It's just one example. But all the parental rights notification, what's going to happen with biological girls and girls sports, some of these other things that play into what's going on in our schools. So explain what's going on with this kind of voter's guide that the Republican Party's put together on the state party site.
Yeah, school board races generally happen in our state in the odd numbered years. So here we are, it's 2025. You'll see a lot of local races on your ballot that you're getting the next few days. You'll see things like city council type races and school board races. And we believe very strongly in developing conservative, common sense people to run for school board and be on school boards and help run local school districts. We believe very strongly in local control, generally, but particularly with regard to school districts and how they they run, how they set up their policy. 2 years ago, in 2023, the state party supported 36 common sense conservative candidates for school board. Now, school board races are nonpartisan. The candidates don't declare whether they're party. Republican, Democrat, mm-hmm. Green, Libertarian, whatever. But the Republican Party does try to find conservative-leaning school board candidates who will focus on reading, writing, math, and hard sciences and try to get the politics out of K-12 classrooms, get back to core basic education. And this year, we're expanding that program. We did 36 races in 2023. We're doing about 82 now, where we support, we don't say endorse because they're nonpartisan races, but we support about 82 good candidates for school boards all around the state, many in King County, but a bunch everywhere. And that's what we're promoting. We're promoting this list of common sense people running for school boards who will help get those districts focused back on basic ed and get the politics out of the classrooms.
All right. That's at the Washington Republican Party website, wagop.org. So that's one to check out if you're trying to figure out what direction do I want to go with the school board related vote that I have coming up on my November 4th general election ballot. State Republican Party chair and state representative from Grays Harbor and Aberdeen, Grays Harbor County and Aberdeen, Jim Walsh, thank you very much for all your time this morning. Thanks for explaining some of these big stories that are going on along with the election coming up November 4th.
It's always good to talk to you, Phil. Everybody have a great weekend, and let's get those ballots back in by November 4th. Everybody needs to vote.
Yep. Knowledge is power. That's why I wanted to bring you on and have you share about this voter's guide or voter's references on the WAGOP.org site. Jim, thanks again. Have a great weekend.
You too. Be well, Phil.
I will.